Now we bring to these microphones a man that you would recognize as an expert on Jewish culture and customs. In fact, he has a book titled that, two books, number one and number two, Jewish Culture and Customs, available at the website of Friends of Israel, FOI.org, or you can come to our website, prophecytoday.com, and purchase either one or two of these books. Great information. You need to have them as resources for your study of God's Word. We're talking, of course, about the National Director of Friends of Israel, Steve Herzig. And he's a good friend. And in fact, I think our son Jim, when you were in San Antonio speaking recently, came over to hear you. And Steve, all he could do was praise you. He said you did an excellent job.
Well, that's nice of him, Jimmy. It was great to see him. We had a wonderful time. He came on that Saturday night and we ate supper together. And then he brought the whole family on Sunday morning. It was great to see him.
Now, when you go out and speak, what are you doing? Are you focusing on one particular thing or whatever may be happening?
Well, Jimmy, one of the main goals I have when I go to speak is to try to talk to the audience about looking at the scriptures in their context. We read in a normal way, and so I try to bring the Jewishness out of the scriptures, and I also try to talk about the future. This isn't all there is, and Jesus Christ is returning again, and he has a program for Jewish people, for Gentiles, for believers, for the nation of Israel, even for planet Earth. And so I try to encourage them and let them realize that there's a lot left that God has to accomplish.
Now, would your schedule be posted on your website?
Sometimes it is. Our days in the prophetic word are all posted there, but each individual schedule is usually not.
Well, indeed, if he is in your area, one of our listening areas out there, be sure to go to hear Steve Herzig. My son just could not quit praising the great job that Steve did. Well, we're in Hanukkah. That's the reason I had to get a hold of you. Chag Sameach to you, my friend. What you need to talk to me about Hanukkah, but I've got to first talk about what has happened. I think the report was I heard that in the late 1800s, Hanukkah was early in the year at the time of Thanksgiving. It's now, and you know, just the other day, Thanksgiving, and we're in the 8-day holy days of Hanukkah. And I understand, I got it from two sources, maybe you can update us, that this is not going to happen again for about 70 or 80,000 years. Is that right?
Jimmy, I heard the same thing. I've looked it up on several different sources. I can't tell you I did the math, but I believe what I've heard, and yes, because of the lunar calendar for the Jewish people and our calendar and the way Thanksgiving comes, they say it's going to be over 70,000 years before that happens again.
Well, I'll guarantee you we'll be in eternity by that time. And
that's for sure.
The rapture has to happen long, long, long before that. In fact, very early on is going to happen soon to these days. They've invented a new word. An Israeli lady came up, and I don't know if I can pronounce it correctly, Thanksgiving-yuka.
I've heard the same thing. And in fact, Jimmy, a number of people made a business, a short-termed one, but a business by making ceramic turkeys into menorahs and lighting the candles in a ceramic turkey. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, did many of the Jewish people do that?
Oh, I think a lot of Jewish people caught on to the kind of mania that it brought and at least tried to play it up as much as they could. I think it's a lot of fun to do, to have the two things together. I thought it was fun.
Well, Hanukkah normally comes nearer Christmas than it is to Thanksgiving. But let's talk about the story behind Hanukkah. First of all, give us a little bit of history, then I want to talk about the customs today.
Okay, Jimmy. Alexander, the great Greek general, conquered the then-known world by the time he was 33. And when he died at that young age, his kingdom was divided into four areas, and two of those areas, the Ptolemies and the Seleucids, Seleucids to the north in Syria and the Ptolemies to the south, Egypt, warred against each other. And there was the Seleucid king Antiochus who was trying to, as it were, put the coup de grace on the Egyptian side, the Ptolemy side, and he had to go through Israel in order to do it. And when he got there, the Romans another power, emerging power from the West, came and said, you know what, don't do this. And they warned him. They had a real red line, and so he had to go back north towards Syria. And when he did, he decided to take his anger like a child who is denied a candy. Since his defeat from the Romans, he, on his way up, decided to try to assimilate the Jewish people. And by assimilate, I mean he went to their temple, he killed a pig, desecrated the temple, set up a false god, outlawed circumcision and studying the Torah scrolls, and tried to, as I said, assimilate them. He didn't mind if he had to kill some. And to be honest, there are many Jewish people who compromised and assimilated. And in fact, we call them Hellenists. They adopted the Greek culture with Greek names and participated in the Greek culture. But there are a group of Jewish people who refused to compromise. And what Antiochus did, he sent his soldiers into areas around Israel, told them that they must kill a pig and eat it in order to show they are assimilating. And they went to a city called Modin, not too far from Jerusalem, but a few miles away. And there was a family there that called the Maccabee family. And what they asked him to do was eat the pig in front of everybody. Well, he refused to do that, but an assimilated Jewish person was about to do it. And so Mattathias, the father, he had five sons, killed that assimilated or Hellenistic Jewish person. There was a riot that broke out. All the soldiers were killed, and the Maccabees led a revolt, and they led it by going up into the mountains and then attacking, because most of the Jewish people in that area at that time were farmers. They weren't soldiers. And over a period of time, and this was between 168 and 165 BCE, before the Common Era, or BC for Gentiles. And so the Jewish people were able to get back to Jerusalem. They took back the temple. They dedicated the temple and realized, according to the story, they realized that there was only enough kosher oil for a day. They burned it anyway, and it lasted 8 days. And so that menorah with seven branches, the temple menorah, lasted for 8 days. And so today, Jewish people have a Hanukkiah, which is a menorah with nine candles, eight for the 8 days, and one servant candle that lights the other candles. And to this day, Jewish people celebrate this day known as the Feast of Dedication, or Hanukkah, not in the Old Testament, an intertestamental holiday, mentioned in John chapter 10. And it was winter, we're told in John chapter 10, and it was the Feast of Dedication, and Jesus, the Messiah, was there in Jerusalem. That's what makes it exciting to me, Jimmy.
Well, it does, and in fact, when you look at John chapter 10, it's surrounded by John 8, 9, and 11, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And of course, the menorah in the holy place of the temple, representing that aspect of the life of Jesus Christ. Now, talk to me about the Hanukkiah. You're talking about a fact that, is that what it's called, Hanukkiah?
That's correct.
Okay, and there's nine candles up there, 8 days represented by eight candles. That center candle, a little bit larger than the others, there's a beautiful story there. Tell us that.
Oh, it is a great story, Jimmy. The Shamus candle is a servant candle. They have people who are called Shamus in a synagogue. They're like a deacon in a church. They're the servant. And according to the rule of lighting the Hanukkiah, the first night will be two candles, one for the first day and the servant candle. Then subsequently, two second day, three candles. Third day, four candles. The only way to light the Hanukkiah is to first light the servant candle, and that candle provides the light for the other candles. And Jimmy, without changing anything from a Jewish point of view, I think the believer can watch that, observe that, and even participate with their Jewish friend and realize, hey, Jesus came to serve. He's the servant, and he's the one that brings us light. According to prophecy, the Jewish people were to be the light unto the Gentiles. And really, in a literal way, as a people we were, because the Jewish Messiah brought the light. He is the light of the world. He is the servant. Any light we have, any glory that we have, is only the result of what he has done for us, nothing we could do. And just like those candles tell a testimony of the eight-day miracle, they couldn't be lit if it weren't for the servant candle. And Jimmy, you and I realize that anything you and I might do in ministry could never be accomplished without the light of the world in our heart and life.
Amen. That's an absolute. Now, tell us how we turn what you've just told us into a unique way for a Christian to somehow start to present the Messiah to the Jewish people.
Well, I think one of the easiest things to do is simply wish them a happy Hanukkah. Acknowledge that they know that Hanukkah is happening. It's wonderful if they can send a Hanukkah card. That would be great. And it's wonderful if they're able to tell their Jewish friends the story and try to create dialogue from them and for them to interact with each other and share about it. Most Jewish people are shocked when a Gentile knows stories that relate to their Judaism. It's an amazing thing to be able to do, to interact with them, and it creates all kinds of talking points.
Folks, bathe it in love, but make sure that you use this Hanukkah season in order for you to have an opportunity to at least open conversation with your Jewish friends, but possibly start to present the Messiah to them as well. I want everybody to either go to foi.org, that's the website for Friends of Israel, or go to our website, prophecytoday.com. You need to get a copy of each of the books that Steve has, Jewish Culture and Customs. They're available for us at either of those websites. And our good friends are those of Friends of Israel, and especially Steve Herzig, who comes along with us each and every time there's an important discussion about Judaism and how we then as Christians can relate to our Jewish friends and neighbors. Steve, thank you so very much, my good friend. Have a great Hanukkah, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks, Jimmy.